We're in our 7 o'clock hour, and it is brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean.
Tiff, you know how some things pop up in the commercial break, and you're like, man, we should have talked about that. Walk back to talk to Dylon about something, and he's like, yo, I'm actually friends with Jack Tuttle. I'm like, yeah. Why wouldn't that have not popped up when we're talking about Jack Tuttle?
I was thinking about chiming in, but then it started to move on, and I was like, nah, I'm going to let it slide. I'm going to let it slide, see if it comes back up. But yeah, so.
Interesting. Okay.
So my cousin, he ended up playing college football at Wisconsin for a time. He unfortunately had to deal with a lot of injuries too, but he played at Wisconsin, and him and Jack Tuttle, he was my cousin, Kay, shout out to Kay. He was a wide receiver. Jack Tuttle, obviously a quarterback. They played, it was a form of like little league. I don't think they played like middle school or high school together because they were playing together when they both lived in California.
Like 7-on-7 ball or something.
Yeah. So when I went to California one year, my cousin and obviously my aunt and uncle, they all introduced me to the Tuttle. So I met Jack, his sister, their family, they're such nice people. I can't say enough nice things about them. So this is unfortunate to hear about Jack. But, yeah, I was at their house, swimming in their pool. Like, we were tight.
Are you actually friends or is this a one-time thing?
No, I'm saying I was friends. Like, I haven't talked to him in years, but we were tight.
Interesting,
we were cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Did not have that a bingo card today. That's cool, though.
You're not going to say something hateful? I was just waiting for...
Oh, really? Oh, so I'm sorry. Am I the only one that heard that?
I heard it.
Am I the one that called it that said that to question? Dylan this morning, can you be a hoop head if you're terrible at basketball?
Yeah, you did say that, Tiff. Mm. And I'm still kind of hurt about it.
You are?
That's
unfortunate.
A little salty.
Also, you took more shots in 30 minutes than me yesterday than Mike did in 3 hours.
you took a lot of shots.
And I'm going to tell you something.
Last third of the show.
He was off to a hell of a lead. He was a big lead, and you just shrunk that lead like in no time.
I had to catch up.
Speaking of lead, our buddy Bryce hit me up on the gram. He's like, don't let Bo steal that, man. That'd be a beautiful. That's from Bruce Almighty. Don't let him try to take over that. You can't have that. Not from Bruce Almighty.
The first time I ever heard that is there was a coach at Kennesaw State, Coach Engel. He actually took them to their D2 college basketball title back in the mid-2000s. And I was in class with, I think I had class with like all three of his sons and hung out with one of them. And one of his sons, we were playing. It was in softball class in college because I had a class of softball. I'm not gonna lie, sports man,
underwater basket weaving.
It's a great class.
I also had tennis. But
I had volleyball.
I'm at the plate, and like I'm hitting, and the guy's throwing it to me. You know, it's pitching to me. And the first thing he goes, beautiful as I go to swing. So I actually took it from him. He took it from Bruce Almighty.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Dylon, what was that drop where Bo goes, if that was a social media post, I wouldn't have read it. That was exactly what just happened there. It was a roundabout way of getting to that story.
Yeah, that doesn't work when you do it like that. Yeah, you're kind of witty like me.
Yeah, okay.
So, I'm glad it happened or sorry it happened. Either way, I'm not reading all that.
So on to the Falcons, who take on the Cowboys this weekend. We've been discussing if the way they are winning games is sustainable. And we're talking about the defense, the amount of takeaways they've had, still trying to generate that pass rush. But Mike had said it was matchup-based, so this weekend it is the Cowboys.
Yeah. Well, and Bo and I both had the same reaction, kind of working our way through all that stuff and talking about matchups, and I think we both kind of looked it up at the same time. We're like, what does the Cowboys, rushing yards look like? What's the YP? What's the yards per carry? Worse than the NFL. Worse than the NFL. Like
I don't know why that was the way you just said
worse in the NFL, Tiff. Like half of what Baltimore is ripping off right now. Cowboys at 3.4 yards per carry, and Baltimore obviously the best. I think it's 6.2. So this is where all the stuff comes. But when Jerry Jones gets the questions about why you didn't sign Derrick Henry. And I love the fact, by the way, that Jerry Jones was like, Derrick Henry wouldn't be having that success here. Like, let me just put this as honest as I can here. That's a product of what they got going on in Baltimore.
I'll tell you this. Going into last week, our second option in Tyler Allgeier in the running game had more yards than Rico Dowdle does now. That's how bad. In fact, I'll tell you, Atlanta's averaged 100. We are now averaging right around 121 yards a game on the ground, which it looks pedestrian compared to the 200 that the Ravens and Derrick Henry are averaging.
It's ridiculous.
Now, Lamar is obviously a big part of that, and I think it's important to point that out. But still, you go back and look at Dallas is pedestrian 74, which Mike said is the worst in the league. I mean, it is bad. But now, look, because Dallas is a team that's 3-4, they have won games, they've had to flip it the other way, where they're one of the better throwing passing teams in the league, but so are we. We're 251 yards a game with Kirk. I mean, you go look at Kirk's numbers, and it's kind of snuck up on us, Tiff, and I know it's inflated a little bit by almost 800 yards against one team in two games, but the fact of the matter is, Kirko's got 2,100 yards and 14 touchdowns, and we're halfway through the season. He's on his way to right around 30 touchdowns if it holds up, and 4,200 yards.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting the dynamic that has kind of switched. You go back to watch the Pittsburgh game that we played in to start the year. It does not even look like the same team on the field, and it's like all the same players, and it kind of leaves you scratching your head, leaves you upset about what you did see against Pittsburgh. Let me ask you guys this, because one of the things I can't wrap my head around the Cowboys, and it's not like I've watched every snap, but Dak Prescott's career, he's been able to run the ball a little bit. And that is something that has just completely left this offense. And I think that's one of the things that if I were the offensive coordinator of Dallas, I would look to get back into. I'm pretty sure, and I don't know this for certain. At this point, Kirk Cousins might have more rushing yards than Dak Prescott does this year. Which is unbelievable, because I think we saw his first rushing attempt this past weekend, and he got 13 yards, and then he got a QB sneak. So Dak is probably, from what I'm looking at, Dak's probably right around 20, actually, now that I see it. He had a 12-yard rush a couple weeks. That's unbelievable. When you think about how mobile he's been throughout his career and how well he moves, it just seems like a zone read every now and then might kind of serve this offense to do some good things.
I wouldn't disagree with that, and I'm kind of surprised by the number that you just said there, because we have seen him be mobile or get quarterback design runs, but also he has the ability to extend plays as well. I just don't know what's going on with their offense. I don't even know if they do.
Oh. Well, Dak was he was running quarterback at Miss State. In fact, he was because Dan Mullen was his guy, and he was in a lot of ways kind of like a Tim Tebow type player. I mean, it's on it. You can go back and watch the film. That's how he was used. Now, he threw it more. He's clearly a better passer than Tim Tebow ever was at any point in his career.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the way he was used. Now, that's also the offense he was used in, but I wonder how much of it, because wasn't it?
Well, the ankle, he's coming off the, and not to say he's still injured, clearly he's playing, but ahead of the season, he still had to wear that boot on it when he wanted to go on the boat because of, like, to keep the swelling down and stuff. So, sorry,
he wanted to go
deep sea fishing or whatever it was, he had to keep the swelling down. So maybe the ankle is somehow factoring into limiting him somewhat in the ability to.
I think a lot of it has to do with maybe the ankle, but some of the zeros now attached to the back of his name, where it's like, how much do we want to put this guy in harm's way?
Well,
and it's a law of diminishing returns at a certain point. And to me, I don't want that to be the one thing that pops up against the Falcons that you're like, boy, they really had a coming out party on the ground with Dak. Like that scares me, because eventually you got to get back to the things you do. And that's just, when you look at his rushing numbers this year, he hasn't had more than two attempts in any game. So it's kind of a head scratcher in terms of what they've been actually asking him to do.
Well, I think a lot of it goes back to 2020 too, when he did have that devastating ankle injury and he missed a ton of time. I'm sure at some point some of that stuff comes back and you're like, is it worth it? Is the juice worth the squeeze? Where I'm going to run more than I need to, and I don't blame guys for shutting it down when you've been injured like that, because you go back and he really. I mean, hell, this is the worst rushing year of his career other than the injury, and it's far and away.
Yeah.
I mean, he still ran the ball to a good extent even after the ankle injury. And to only have run it 10 times halfway through the season, it's almost halfway. They did have their bye week already. It's a little bit odd, but I don't know. That's their problem. I don't really give a crap. I mean, I hope the problem continues for them this week.
Well,
I'm be honest with you. Yeah, like you said, I'm be honest with you. I don't care who they have and who they don't have. My goal at the end of this week is to be 6-3.
Well, and that's the thing is we started this conversation talking about matchups for the Atlanta Falcons. While the Atlanta Falcons have not been great against the run, they haven't been dead last the way the Cowboys' offense is right now. And so that leads you to believe maybe, all right, looking at the bright side of this, you can catch these Cowboys in a second, 9 and a 3rd and 7, and maybe that's when we can get back to playing the brand of football that we've asked for where you actually can tee off and find them in obvious passing downs, which we haven't done a good job of.
I also think your offense maybe changes the way teams play you as the game goes on. And when I mean the way they play you, I don't mean anything about their defense. I mean the way their offense. And I wonder if some of that crept in last week with Tampa Bay, because you're down 14-7. You are able to get off the field, right? You tie it, and then they give you the ball back, and you're up 7. I think it's 17-14, or it's 20. It was 21. No, what was it? You kicked the field goal.
You got it 24-17.
24-17. That's what it was. It was 21-14. And they kick the field goal, and you're able to go down right before the half and make it a full touchdown. And I wonder if teams are starting to look at that and say, hey, their offense is starting to click. You know, Kirk is starting to feel that rhythm. We're going to have to score with them. And I
look at it complete opposite. I'm going to run the ball and keep him off the field is the way I would do it.
That's the way a lot of people would look at it. But you know how pass-happy these offensive coordinators are these days.
Which star player is set to make a return, and it could be a difference maker for his team at the right time? We're going in the huddle to give you the details on the other side of the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on the morning shift, before we go to in the huddle, I get to be a judge this evening.
Uh-oh.
If you guys were, wondering.
Hopefully it is someone's fate's not it.
It's not. If that were the case, I'd hope it would be
you. Are you sentencing, or what's going on?
No, I'm judging. It's called Costumes on the Wolf, and it is at the new Overstory, the hotel. That's up in Duluth, Overstory Rooftop. So I believe it is a Westin. And okay. So it is benefiting charity, No Kill Shelter, Angels Rescue. So I will be a judging dog Halloween costumes. So,
is that a popular thing? Do you have one for your dog?
He's had one in the past. Like he has a lion's mane that
I might
throw on him if I bring him up there with me today. So
that's cool.
A pretty cool event.
Tiffany, is there any specific costume that you could see on a dog that could find a special way into your heart?
Ooh. Well, there was one Denzel actually sent it to me yesterday, a three-legged dog, which I have a soft spot for three-legged dogs, for tripods. And the dog had an IHOP shirt on.
That's good.
Because he was, you get it?
At least he sends you pictures. He sends Dylan broken TVs. Oh my
God. This is factual. I hate to say it, Denzel, but this is factual.
I don't want
to
do a hard,
Do you dress Sprinkles up?
Yeah. We got her a Yoda costume one time. And it's really just a shirt, and we do dress her up sometimes for special events. Amy, I'm sure, had something on the way. There was I think she had a witch costume one time, a little hat, So yeah.
I guess. Oh, so you buy inflatable stuff for your kids? Giant? Like you don't? You seem to be all into Halloween. You don't stick like a little hat or something on your dog?
No, can't say that I have. Oh, but I mean, look,
Scrooge of Halloween.
We bought him a birthday hat, and that didn't stay on but for 10 seconds. We sang him happy birthday, and he hated it. So, yeah, costume wasn't going to be in the works.
Really.
Plus, he's like 80 pounds. You're like, dude, like, you know what I mean?
You can find
high
stuff.
Thread count.
You can find stuff.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
Real quick, I know we got to hit the blitz or the huddle or whatever we do on this show, NFL segment-wise.
We've been doing the show for 2 years.
It's alarming how often you call it the blitz. We've been doing the show for 2 years.
Well, I did another show for like 5 years, and it was called the blitz, so just forgive me. So, Mr. Yo just sent the video of Kirk scrambling, and I did not realize how unathletic he fell to the ground, because I think it's Winfield grabs his leg, and Kirk doesn't
kill
like
the spot.
He doesn't dive forward. He just immediately hits his knee.
No, the best part is the double pump fake. Go back and watch the double pump fake from Kirk. It's who are you pump faking?
I'm watching it on loop.
It's just so
good. Like he's throwing at the defender.
I love it, man.
But you know what?
Dude, I was like, yes, go, Kirk. Go.
Hold on a second. The double pump works.
Yeah.
Because
get somebody in the air?
Because the defender does this. He starts turning around. He's like, wait. Oh, no, here you go.
Doug Flutie back there.
I don't know what was worse, his fall or the fact that he got someone with a double pump fake. That is,
it's a beautiful thing.
I've got to identify this player.
I want
to
see it
walk into
more.
Your trap, take over your trap.
Yeah, that's what he did.
Right, I want to correct myself too. It is the Weston Gwinnett and a Weston Atlanta Gwinnett, and it is that overstory rooftop bar. So it is benefiting charity, a no kill shelter, Angels Rescue.
Josh Hayes.
Did you find what you were looking for? Okay,
Josh Hayes is the guy that not only the funniest part, Tiff, is the guy that he beat with the fake is the guy that ended up turning around in the exact same spot and tackling him.
No,
oh, my gosh.
Let's go in the huddle. The San Francisco 49ers, their running back, Christian McCaffrey, who had one of his best careers back in 2023. He has not yet played this season due to... it was some sort of Achilles thing, right? Or not Achilles, excuse me. It was Achilles
tendonitis.
Tendonitis
of the Achilles. Achillinitis.
Well, head coach Kyle Shanahan had a positive update saying he is going to hit it hard with simulated practice workouts this week. And if all goes well, the team is hoping to get McCaffrey back at practice next week. So that is a really good sign for them, especially if he can rejoin this team that has had some ups and downs, but what, coming off the win on Sunday Night Football. But it would be great for them to have their main guy back.
Yeah, and they got Ricky Pearsall back after losing Ayuk. Debo is healthy, it appears.
He looked explosive last weekend.
Week 10 is what they're eyeing, so.
The NFC West is an interesting division because you have, like, this weird kind of tie at the top between Arizona, San Francisco, and Seattle, and the Rams are only a game out at 3-4. So
and they look like world beaters last week.
It's a weird. It's a kind of a logjam at the top. And man, there's some good teams in the NFC right now because Detroit, Green Bay, and Minnesota are all up there in the North. But San Francisco getting healthy should scare some people, I would think.
A lot of people.
The rich get richer, it feels like, when you look at that situation. And there's a number of things like that, honestly. When you're teams and everything else going on with some of the best teams in the NFL, you're like, man, like these guys are starting to get healthy, and they've still been winning, which is unfortunate. But, Christian McCaffrey. Listen, the NFL is just more fun when Christian McCaffrey's part of it with San Francisco. I'll just say that. And I think it's scary for the teams that are playing them, man. And, look, he was I didn't think he'd be out as long as he is, but nonetheless, happy to hear that he's on the mend at least and making a run back at it soon.
And the fact that it will be estimated to be just over the halfway point, so which is
take a bunch of hits off his shoulders and limit his minutes, so he'll be fresh down the stretch. No big deal.
Give Kyle credit because the fact that he's able to keep this team afloat with all the injuries at 4-4. Give Brock Purdy credit. You know, give Bosa credit, give the defense credit. I mean, give everybody in that locker room, coaching and players, credit. They have stayed afloat, and they might get back. You know, the biggest trade pickup in the NFL, and they didn't even trade anybody for him.
Yeah, it's a good call.
Not this time, anyways.
So tempers were running a little bit high after the Denver Broncos beat the Panthers 28-14. Panthers cornerback J.C. Horn, he confronted head coach Sean Payton of the Broncos on the field and accused him of trying to run up the score on the Panthers, who are now 1-7 after the loss. So he did not like Payton's play calling in the fourth quarter, at which point the game was already well in Denver's control and out of reach for Carolina. Well,
did Payton use the excuse he heard for his quarterback this time? I mean, I would just be shocked. I don't know what J.C. Horn's thinking. Sean Payton's never, ever ran the score up on anyone at any point.
The trick plays that probably set him off because they were up 28-7 by the fourth quarter, then they ran two trick plays. So
how many screams at Cortland Sutton for fumbling the football when he's running up the score? And then using the guys of, well, we got to learn how to finish.
Well, and let's add all this into the fact that what he said after the game was that, let's be honest, that wasn't a very good team we played. Like, dude, like he's just so out of pocket with some of the stuff he says. And
he's a hateful man.
I have a healthy amount of respect for what he is as a football coach, but you add that to like the Nathaniel Hackett comments and some of the choke signs he's given over the years and some of the things he's done. It's like, dude, I'm a benefit of the doubt kind of guy, but at some point I've got to stop giving you the benefit of the doubt. You don't have to be that guy that after you win comes out and says they're not very good. That's just like there's no point in that, dude. Like what's the
it's who
what's
he
the
is.
Point?
It's who he is. He's all we're always going to be around people and have different opinions of them, and that's fine. He just is a very hateful person, and that's all there is to it. There's nothing that – I've never seen anything come out that made me thought otherwise. Not even the fake-ass Kevin James movie that they put on Netflix about him in his life when he was suspended.
Moving on, the perfect Kansas City Chiefs, 7-0 on the season, are making more moves. So they already acquired receiver DeAndre Hopkins, who got in action this weekend when they played the Raiders. Now they traded a 2026 sixth-round pick to the New England Patriots in exchange for edge rusher Josh Uche. So now he's going to go help to bolster up the Chiefs defense. That's one of the best in the league this season.
He's taking his two sacks to Kansas City.
So, yeah.
Well, a lot of people thought he had tied him to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have taken his two sacks here.
Oh, hell, I would have too. I mean, I'm not, that wasn't a knock. The fact that he would have been the leading sack
yeah.
leader. It was just brutal. But anyways, look, Kansas City is – it feels – I don't want to time anybody. I don't know what Andy Reid's future is in coaching. I think he's having the time of his life, and I think the only thing that dude wants to do is draw up plays and eat cheeseburgers. And you know what? I'm here for it.
Yeah.
But
– he's pretty good at both.
It is – it does feel like they are saying, hey, we got to get while the getting's good. We're good, but we're not great offensively. And we're very good on defense, but we're not great. Does this make us great?
I think this is more tight. You bring up Andy Reid. I actually think that the clock is ticking faster on Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce than maybe it is Andy Reid.
Because I don't think maybe not both.
I don't think Pat Mahomes is going to play forever. The guy's already in the Hall of Fame. He's already won multiple Super Bowls and MVPs and everything else. Like I don't think he's a guy that's going to play 20 years. I don't think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
I would think Travis Kelce is going to retire before.
I do too. I think both of them. I'm not sure they won't leave at the same time.
Mahomes is only 29, though. I mean, he's got.
Dude, I'm just saying. I think a Luke Kuechly career for him.
Right.
Like that's what I think.
Your money. You've got endorsements.
Got young kids at home. Like I just. Yeah. I don't know.
Three more years, maybe. On the way.
I look at a guy that I look at him and he's never. Knock on Dylan. Go there and knock on that door real quick. Knock on wood for him. He's never had a serious injury in the NFL. He's having fun. I just don't see a guy that's going to walk away. If Andy left, I could see him questioning staying.
Can you imagine if all three go at the same time? Oh, man.
Well, I'd love it for us, but not for them.
Zero res, smart, lasting, clean. What you got for Mike Dupp?
Well, Tiff, we're going to talk about the Hawks when we come back and the letdown that was against Alex Saar and the Washington Wizards last night. And then you mentioned the NFL trades that are going on right now. I've never been more jealous of possibly a fan base and a head coach of the reaction we saw up north yesterday. We'll talk about that coming up on the other side. Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game.
We are back here on the morning shift. Dylan.
Yes?
Do you have any time to reflect over me saying you have poor basketball skills?
I do have time to reflect, and I just would like to say that I'm a lot better than you think, Tiff. And the fact that you are ready to judge my game off just a few highlights is a little bit shocking coming from you, to be honest, and a little bit hurtful.
Have you ever went 2 of 15 from the field after hitting your first two shots?
No.
You're talking about
I stay hot. Once I get hot, Bo, I stay hot. Once I get hot, I stay hot.
You talking about, yeah, anyone in particular, Bo?
No.
No,
not really.
No, no.
Sure about that? The box score would say you're talking about somebody pretty specifically.
I mean, look, I'm it was a rough night for the Hawks last night. I'm not going to get on here and crush or kill Trey. I just
121-119.
Yeah, at the end of the game,
the Wizards.
Trey missed a game winner, which hey, those aren't easy shots to make. No, I feel bad because it's kind of BS for me. I don't mind guys playing back to backs. I'm okay with it. I think though that teams should play back to backs together. So the problem
for
me,
they're both coming in having played games. That's what you're saying.
Washington sat in Atlanta in a hotel on Sunday night, Tiff, while Atlanta was playing one of the best teams in the league. In Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
I think that's garbage. I think it's garbage the fact that the Hawks had to fly home and turn around and play while they were at Magic City having fun, eating wings. That I don't like that. I think that's garbage. And so when Trey
Well, you know, Alex Starr doesn't like Atlanta. That's what I was
yeah,
told.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And hey, credit to the fans that went there last night.
Yeah.
Booed him every time he touched the ball.
I love it.
Because he didn't want to work out here. But to me, like, I'm not going to sit here and I brought it up to say, did that just show, you know, this tired legs? Trey played great in Oklahoma City. And they were in that game for a long amount of time, and it's kind of got away at the end, but that's a really good Oklahoma City team. It just frustrates me that we have to do that, and then now Trey will get criticized for it, for people yeah. That didn't even know that they were rested. We weren't. Look, NBA players should play back-to-backs. It's NBA. I agree with Chuck and Shaq on these things. However, if one team's doing it, they both should be doing it. And they're playing. If they're playing a back-to-back, they should
Either
be
that or it should be back-to-back at home. Right? If you're going to have back-to-back games, make them both home games.
Agreed.
And to your point, there are, what, five guys on the injury list before the game last night? DeAndre Hunter, Bogey, Kobe Bufkin, Onyeka, and then Vic Krejci, the legend. Gets hurt there in the first half. Then all of a sudden you're in a situation with Zachary Risache where I think he's probably on a minutes crunch right now, and you're not playing him. Garrison Matthews getting a ton of minutes. So it's just a team. And even with all that said, you had a shot at the end for Trey, kind of pulling a step, you know, step through three that's not able to get home, not able to get it done. As 7.5-point favorites, by the way, ding.
And Risache played pretty good Sunday night. I think it's probably his best game as a pro early. But best game so far.
Up next for them, it's the Sacramento Kings, that game on Friday.
Let's hit them mic'd up.
And they play Washington again on Wednesday.
They play Washington again on Wednesday. So, look, I got to be honest. We were just talking about the trade that Kansas City made from New England, right? And this, like, when you get towards the trade deadline in the NFL, it's like, edge rushers and wide receivers are baseball's version of a power hitter and
relievers.
A reliever, right? You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get, like, we need back into the bullpen help.
Or
you got to shut the door in the eighth.
Or that fifth starter.
Right.
Or a flamethrower.
Everybody that plays fantasy baseball, if you have a closer, you're always terrified because you're like, dude, my closer's going to get traded at the deadline and he's going to become a setup man and there's no more saves. All right. So a lot of this news is kind of coming down. Well, yesterday, Dan Campbell stepped to the podium, right, and he was excited.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, could be.
What do you think of no, seriously, though, has he come to you with something?
Yeah, could be.
Right. What you hear there is Dan Campbell being asked, come to you with any possible trades? And that little thud you heard right there at the end, that's him jumping up and down like my four-year-old son. Yeah, boom. Yeah, could be. Smiling. In that moment, guys, I got to be honest with you. I don't think the Falcons are going to make any trades. I haven't set myself up for the Falcons to make any trades as far as any edge rushers go. And Lord knows we've heard every name under the sun, Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, all these other guys. Right? But I don't think it's going to happen. So when I looked at Dan Campbell and I looked at how gritty and how tough that team plays and how well they've been playing on both sides of the ball, and I thought about the fact that they could have lost a guy in Aiden Hutchinson, and it sounds to me like adding a pretty elite edge guy possibly, if not another position. A little bit of jealousy, man. A little bit of jealousy to how excited he might have been in that
situation.
Who do you
think that
could be?
I don't know. I mean, look, I think any Lions fan's going to tell you. It's Max Crosby. It's
That's
happening.
What I know. That's what I was thinking. Even though Mark Davis
if I was Max Crosby, I'd want to go.
Our Mark right? David came out. Or Mark Davis came out and said that they wouldn't be trading him
Dude.
Before or after, which equates to never. But you never, you know, I don't rule
I'd
anything
out. I'd
want
to go there if I was him. Why wouldn't you want to play
too.
For that team?
Don't even think
not
about
that he
this
doesn't,
year.
But why would the Raiders want to get? I mean, you would not want to get rid of a player like that.
No, not for a late first round pick would be the best you could get. Well, imagine that next year. Imagine Aiden Hutchinson and Max Crosby. I mean,
sick.
I mean, what? What kind of nicknames could you ask?
Do you remember when we talked, and Raheem talked about the PFF grade for Arnold Ebiketie, and I looked at it, and the number one edge in the NFL in that moment. So he gets hurt, and you're going to bring in – I don't know who it's going to be. I don't think it's Max Crosby, but that would be cause for Dan Campbell to jump up and
That's
down on the
I
stage in a press,
say.
Right? I mean, like, that would – like, you look at the smile.
Could be.
Yeah, could be.
That's my favorite thing in the world about the PFF crowd is they'll use why someone sucks – but then when you give them a grade to say that's why that guy is better than you think, they'll be like, no,
I don't know.
But,
doesn't involve everything.
Appreciate, I just love how candid Dan Campbell is. And dude. So you don't, usually people tiptoe around trade rumors or trade talk, or the coach is going to be like, hey, refer those GM or maybe something generic like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Raheem's, we're always looking. Yeah, we're always looking.
Yeah, I liked his his
too.
Candor. His
I
response.
Did too.
You like how Raheem wears his pants on the sidelines?
What?
Kind of pulls them up.
What?
Never noticed it.
He pulls them up a little bit. And
got the joggers on? Is that what
he pulls the joggers up a little bit.
I don't mind it. It's
I don't
the
either.
Mike McDaniel look.
I think it's comfortable, man. I've done it before.
Listen, between that and Bama fans wonder, you know, Nick's always worn a polo on the sideline. They've been losing their mind over Kalen DeBoer wearing a lightweight hoodie. It's just ridiculous.
Well, Nick Saban wore a pullover. I know he had he had the collar shirt on underneath, but he had a freaking pullover.
Well, look, Bear Bryant wore a suit, so Nick Saban. You know, what are you doing wearing
so
a polo?
So did Gene Stallings.
You know what I mean? So what are we doing?
So you got a national
time,
title
times change.
For Gene Stallings.
You guys are crazy. All right, up next, it is the wake-up call. We want to hear from you at 404-726-0929. We've been discussing is the way the Falcons hang on defense – contributing to wins with takeaways, is that sustainable, especially with the Cowboys coming up? Give us your thoughts. Wake Up Call's next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.